Springbok Radio invites you to meet our three wise men and to test the team. Good evening and welcome to a program of general knowledge questions and answers. The questions come from our listeners, the answers from our three pundits. So every Sunday night at this time, it's your business to test the team.
When your kind of headache strikes and tension builds along with the pain, you need the extra strength of Anadin. Anadin is one of the strongest headache tablets you can buy without restriction. Anadin's fortified formula is extra strong in the trusted pain reliever doctors recommend most, and has another ingredient to get you over headache's after effects. No grogginess, no after pain depression. Take Anadin. Extra strong in the pain reliever doctors recommend most.
Peugeot 404, manual, automatique, wagon, LDV. The answer to all your motoring problems. Value for money, incredibly reliable. Little maintenance and the running costs are low. More than a sugar-coated pill, the 404 from Peugeot.
De juist van Martel maakt bije edel brandewijn. Martel Fio is een van hulle. Bije oud, bije zaal. Nou in Zuid-Afrika vervaardigd onder toezicht van de juist van Martel Frankrijk. En elke kenner van brandewijn ken één woord Frans. Martel.
So, just before you test the team, here's Dear McCormack to introduce the team.
Hello again, and nice to be with you once more to swap those odd bits of interesting information. So, let me call in the Johannesburg swapper, Arthur Blexley.
Hello, everyone.
Our man in Durban, Grant Loudon.
Evening, all.
And the Cape Town representative, Eric Rosenthal.
What of?
How are you repping, Eric? All right?
What am I representing?
Well, team and listeners, as was the case last week, the first question is cryptic. And will it be the first score of the evening? And I'm addressing that question to you, Errol Hunter, of Kensington Gardens, Umbelo, Durban, because you may make a score out of this. You better listen to this one very carefully, team. The number 113355 should have the team going round in circles. But can they tell us why? That's Mr. Errol Hunter's question for you. The number 113355 should have the team going round in circles. But can they tell us why?
Suppose there's something to do with the word circle.
Oh, Eric.
I think it is.
It's very interesting. Listeners, would you like a chance to test yourselves on this particular question, because it might be worth fooling around with those numbers and see how far you get with it and see how far the team gets with it. I'll ask the next question, one or two questions, and come back to this team and see who's going to beat whom, you or the listeners. Now, the next question is from Mrs. A. Byrne of Main Road, Seaforth, Simonstone, asking, what kind of a letter is a Collins? What kind of a letter is a Collins? Eric?
I think it's something derived from Jane Austen.
Yes, it is.
You know, the Reverend Collins,
yeah.
Who was trying to get married to Elizabeth Bennet in Pride and Prejudice.
That's right.
Now, he wrote some peculiar kind of letter. Was it? She didn't marry him. And so it indicates that it wasn't a successful...
It goes under another nickname, this Collins letter, incidentally, or a Collins, rather, which is now pinned down to a type of letter, and the derivation is Jane Austen, and I'll ask you, Grant.
Isn't it what I've heard some of my feminine relations referring to as a bread-and-butter letter?
That's it.
A roofer.
A roofer, yeah. Mm.
It's a bread-and-butter letter, saying thank you to your hostess, or whatever it may be, staying with them all. having dinner with them, whatever. A bread and butter letter, otherwise a Collins. Nicely done. Now, Mr. J. Gillespie, our Protea Road, Heatherlands, George. There's the Scottish song, says Mr. Gillespie, probably well known to many in South Africa, The Road to the Isles. And I think it's well known to the team too, Mr. Gillespie. I'm not sure, we haven't had this question before, but let's see how far we get along with this one. Part of which goes something like this, says Mr. Gillespie. Sure, by Tummel and Lochranach and Cummon.
And the harbour to the sea.
I will go by heather tracks to heaven in the wild, etc. And further on, it is by Shielwater the tracks is to the west, by Eilat and by Morra to the sea.
I've gone that way, yes.
Now, Mr. Gillespie says six lochs are mentioned, namely Loch Tummel, Loch Ranach, Loch Harbour, Loch Shiel, Loch Eilat, and Loch Morra.
Yes.
One is different from the others. Which is it and why? Grant?
Well, the one that is different, and I, for the life of me, I can't remember which it is, but the one that is different is a sea loch. The others are all freshwater lochs.
Yes, and I think...
Arthur, what is your answer to that?
I was going to suggest it was the last one, because you don't start at the sea to get to the sea.
No, but you cross. Don't forget that this was the Young Pretender's flight after the 45, which is described. And he crossed loch, what do you call it, and then went down the road to the Isles... on the way to the Isle of Man.
No, not the Isle of Man, the Isle of Skye.
The Isle of Skye, what am I talking about?
I've been that way. It's you go through, what's that place
Fort
called?
Fort William.
Arisaig and Malaig.
Team, you're never going to get to Skye at this rate, I'm afraid. You're really off the top of the rails here. I'll give you Loch Tummel, Loch Ranach, Loch Harbour, Loch Shiel, Loch Eilat.
Oh, wait a minute, of course, Loch Harbour isn't a loch at all. It's a village.
It's not a loch at all. It's a district, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right.
Not a stretch of water. It's a district including Ben Nevis, incidentally.
Mm.
Loch Harbour, the exception to the rule. Nicely done, Grant. By Jove, you came out very hard in the straight there. Now from Miss T. Batten of Florida Road, Durban. I wonder, does the team know the Christian names, too, of that great soldier who died some months ago, Lord Montgomery? All right, Eric.
Bernard Law Montgomery.
Bernard Law Montgomery, so it is. You know, there's been a very good biography of him published just recently by Alan Chalfant, in which he quotes that rather famous happening when Monty invited the captured General Fantoma, commander of the Africa Corps, to have dinner with him in his caravan at Alamein. Do you remember that? And questions were asked in the House of Commons. Do you know what Churchill's reply was, Gordon?
I can't remember what Churchill said, but the strong impression was that he, Churchill, had dined with Montgomery and it was nothing to write home about.
Yes, apparently the question of the Commons said, is it right that General Montgomery should invite General Fantoma to dinner the night of his capture? And Churchill apparently said, poor Fantoma, I too have dined with Montgomery.
In his cruelty to animals, I
apparently so. Now we're going back, team, to Errol Hunter's question from Umbilo, Durban. The number 113355 should have the team going round in circles. Can they tell us why?
Can I say that I hope that Arthur's unwonted silence for the last 5 minutes or so has meant that he's been working on this one while the rest of us have been talking?
If work is the right word, because work usually produces something. I've produced nothing whatsoever.
Circle, David, what do they... What do, who does what in circle?
I've reduced it to its various factors, but that hasn't taken me very far.
I've never come upon this one myself, but now everybody's...
It's something to do with...
I'm going to be wise after the event, but perhaps Arthur's going to give it to us. Arthur?
It's a value of the ratio of pi. 355 over 113.
Yes, he's got it.
By Jove, boys, aren't you glad that we've got him with us?
Did the word circle, going round in circles, give you an initial clue, Arthur, or not?
No, I never thought of breaking it up. I was doing things to it, dividing by five, and goodness knows what all.
Yes.
But, suddenly, you know, it always helps to have people talking.
Grant, I think we should give him a real cheer now, don't you?
I think so. Hip hip hooray.
Hooray, hooray, hooray.
Try it, listeners. If you divide the first three digits, to wit, 113, into the second three digits, the 355, the answer is pi.
Pretty closely.
Very easy if you know how.
How interesting. Nice work, Mr. Hunter, and nice work, Arthur. You saved the bacon there. Now, Mrs. E. E. Lumley writes to us from Kabiga Park, Port Elizabeth, asking which was the first city or town in Africa to have parking meters.
In Africa?
Yes, the first city or town in Africa to have parking meters.
Boys, this indicates that it's not South Africa.
I'm going to ask Grant what he says to that one.
Why do I think of Bulawayo?
I've got a feeling it's something like Rhodesia.
I wonder what you're coming up with finally, team.
I know
how your mind is working now, Grant, when you say Bulawayo.
I have two thoughts on this. One popped in right when you started this question. One said Nairobi, but I don't think it's Nairobi. And then I got round to Bulawayo, and I can't get it out of my mind.
Well, there's a lot of room in the streets of Bulawayo.
Oh, it'd be a silly place to put parking meters.
That's right.
Yes, quite. Yes, good point.
And the same is true of Salisbury. They have the widest streets in Africa, I imagine.
There are lots of room for parking.
Are they still turning bullock wagons in the main street of Bulawayo?
Well, they can.
They can, quite
they
easily,
can, aren't they? Team, what do you say?
No, I don't know.
Well, Salisbury was the second.
Was it really?
And the first in 1955 was Bloemfontein.
Good gracious.
Yes, Bloemfontein, 1955. First in Africa to have parking meters.
I wonder if that surely Johannesburg had them before this.
No, Eric, confirmed by the town clerk of Bloemfontein.
Yes, but confirmed by the town clerk of Johannesburg.
Well, I think it's a rivalry.
Did you say 1955?
1955. Yes, well, there it is, Mrs. Dumley. Congratulations. Believe it or not, Bloemfontein was the first in Africa, and our two-round token reward will be reaching you through the post. Now, here's a quotation which has been rendered in various ways. It comes, in this instance, from Mr. D. Polney of Honey Street, Berea, Johannesburg. And its correct version, as given in the actual book, is, "I like work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours. I love to keep it by me. The idea of getting rid of it nearly breaks my heart." There are various versions of it, but this is a quotation from the actual book. Arthur, what do you say?
Well, it comes from Jerome K. Jerome.
Mm. Yes, it is.
But it has been breathed over by so many people that by now I think it's universal.
Mm. That's right. And the book, specifically?
Three Men in a Boat.
Three Men in a Boat, yes. But the verbatim from that book, "I like work, it fascinates me, I can sit and look at it for hours, I love to keep it by me, the idea of getting rid of it nearly breaks my heart." The usual thing is, "I like work, I can watch people doing it for hours," isn't it? That's right. One of the breathless versions, or the breathing versions, are there, correct?
That's right.
Now, from Dr. C.G. de Tooy of Doreen Street, Colbane, Pretoria, can the team say who the author was of the famous letter from which the following are extracts, and to whom was it verbally addressed?
A verbal letter.
Yes. Well, it's a thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is obviously an Irish question. "Having sufficiently considered by now, most illustrious sir, the experiments of all those who are reputed masters and contrivers of war instruments, and having found that in character and working, said instruments do not differ from those which are in general use, I shall endeavour to divulge and explain my secrets to your excellency. In time of peace, methinks I can give the best satisfaction, well bearing comparison with anyone else in architecture, in the designing of buildings, whether private or public, and in conducting water from one place to another." That presumably was not said in that beautifully turned set of English phrases. But who said it, Grant?
It sounds to me like Leonardo da Vinci addressing himself to the Sforza.
It was precisely, yes. Da Vinci, Duke Ludovico Sforza, who was the Duke Regent of Milan, correct?
Did he get the job?
Late 15th century.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he made quite a name for himself in the end, Eric.
I believe so.
He did the fortifications around Milan at that.
Well, he did a lot of portrait painting in his spare time, too.
Oh, yeah, brilliant character. I mean, look at his English. Fancy learning the language as well as that. Now, from Mr. A.G. Sandy Sinclair of Ishawi. No, I think, Mr. Sinclair, we're going to wait a moment before we put your question, because I see that half-time has crept up on us. And after their exhausting efforts, I think the team needs a breather before they come back to accept their next challenge.
Rothman's Extra Length, finest filter, and the best tobacco money can buy give true king-size flavor. That's why, all over the world, Rothman's king-size is offered with pride, accepted with pleasure. Rothman's king-size really satisfies.
No. Mamma mia. No way, baby.
Your European trip could be spoiled when an Italian waiter refuses your German marks or an international thief steals your Dutch guilders. So carry your money in the theft-proof international currency, Barclays Traveller's Checks.
Barclays? Magnifico.
Available from any Barclays bank.
Musica!
Accepted all over the world. Barclays Traveller's Checks.
Now, EverReady reinvents the battery. New EverReady Power Plus. The battery that's packed with EverReady power. Plus, still more power.
More power for your radio.
More power for your torch.
More power for all battery-operated equipment.
Look for the new black and silver EverReady Power Plus. The most powerful EverReady. The one all-purpose battery for all your needs. New EverReady Power Plus.
Starting off the second part of Test the Team for tonight with this cliffhanger question, if I may call it that, Mr. Sandy Sinclair of Ishawi. You write, as an American in South Africa, I enjoy your program immensely, and especially the team's sharp answers on questions related to our country. I was wondering if they could answer this one. There are two towns in the United States specifically and purposely named after two towns in South Africa. What are their names, and in what state are they located, and what is the connection with South Africa? And Mr. Sinclair says, I do not mean towns simply with the same name, such as Richmond, Virginia, and Richmond, Cape Province, but two separate towns actually named after two places here. Right, Eric, starting with you.
Well, they are, first of all, they're in California.
Yes.
And the one is called Johannesburg.
Yes.
Because they thought they'd found gold there. I don't think they did, actually, or not very much. And then there was another one called Randsburg.
Randsburg
with an S, I think.
Yes, it was. Oh, I thought you were going to say Randburg.
Well, it's very similar, but
very
not
similar.
Quite.
There is Randsburg with an S.
Well, neither of them has become as big as the one locally.
No, that's
big
true.
As the two locally is
that's
what
right.
you really mean.
Yes.
Anna, may I ask, Eric, was the Johannesburg correctly spelled? Didn't they spell it with an I?
No, that's the one in Germany.
I know there's one in Germany.
No, I think the one in California was correct. Was spelled the same.
Was it?
Yeah.
Johannesburg?
Yes.
Johannesburg is spelled exactly the same, yes. Yeah. Arthur, over to you.
Well, it was named after this Johannesburg, so obviously they spelled it the same.
Yes.
You can never be sure that the United States, our friends in the USA, will do just that thing.
The German one is surely Johannesburg.
Johannesburg, yes.
Now from Miss Ursula Allenstein of Craddock. Do the three wise men know who the real culprit was in the notorious Dreyfus affair? Who was the real culprit? You better explain yourself, Eric.
Well, the culprit, as far as we know, is Major Esterhazy, who afterwards had to clear out of France.
Just let us go back in history and just describe what the Dreyfus case was very briefly, Eric, for those who have grown up since 1894.
Well, I've grown up since then. Dreyfus was an officer in the French army who was charged entirely unjustly and fraudulently with having passed military information to the German Foreign Office. And he was disgraced, degraded, and sent to the Devil's Island in South America. And then, thanks to the efforts of a number of famous French writers and other people, like Emile Zola and others, the whole thing came out, the secret was blown, and it turned out the whole thing was a frame-up, and he had been wrongly convicted, chiefly because he was Jewish. And there was but before the truth came out, the whole of France was split, politically and otherwise, and in the end he was vindicated and restored to his military rank, and the villains of the peace were punished.
Yes, it wasn't until about 1930, apparently, that he was finally vindicated, was it?
Oh, no, about 1906.
Was it?
Yes, but he died before then.
The case was opened again in 1906.
Anyhow, the point was the real villain was a chap named Major Esterhazy, who had cooked up this document and fraudulently, presented it.
Yes.
And he was finally thrown out of the army and had to go to England.
the cause célèbre at the time, the Dreyfus case. Well, there it is. Esterhazy was the culprit. Now we're answering your question, Mr. Michael G. Feltman of Louisburg Avenue, Berea, Johannesburg. I wonder if the team can explain the connection between the following phenomena. Arthur, does this sound like you? Fresh water you cannot drink, cows you cannot milk, and ride where you walk. Strange phenomena? What's the connection? Fresh water you cannot drink, cows you cannot milk, and ride where you walk. All right, Arthur, let's try you. The scientific approach.
I would say that cows is probably spelt with an E.
Yes,
and ride is probably spelt with a Y.
It blows the gaff a bit, doesn't it?
Fresh water, there's a place for that name.
Is that's one right. word.
Geographical.
And they all exist where?
The Isle of Wight.
The Isle of Wight it is, yes. Now, here's another geographical question. It comes from Mr. J.C. Carlin of Rondebosch, Cape Town. What is the southernmost point in South Africa at which an aeroplane has landed? Southernmost point in South Africa at which an aeroplane has landed. I'm jolly interested to see what you say, Eric.
Well, I think the southernmost point is somewhere near Bredasdorp, and it was done when they were running this experimental service in 1925, before a regular service was started by the government. There was this one run by the SA Air Force, and I believe one of the machines came down. They were carrying letters or something. Came down somewhere near Bredasdorp.
Yes, by Jove. Can you be a little more specific in
placing it there? Well, it was near Cape Agulhas. I couldn't have got
Yes, it was. It was. 1925, you gave me?
Yeah.
March 1925, it was near Cape Agulhas, and it was a certain bay, and now you'll have it, obviously. But I'm prepared to take near Cape Agulhas, because that is the southernmost point.
Mm.
And it was Strace Bay.
Yeah.
Strace Bay.
Mm-hmm.
A DH-9 of the South African Air Force landed after being forced down by low cloud and mist and took off again after an hour or more for Mossel Bay. And what is rather interesting about it is Mr. Carlin was a passenger.
Good gracious.
In the plane for the Star newspaper.
Does he still fly these days after an experience like that?
He doesn't go there by air to Agulhas much.
Jolly interesting. And he goes on to say, and sent a news telegram to all Argus papers from Cape Agulhas Lighthouse, which was then and may still be a post office. The only white inhabitant he saw was a Mr. von Bredar, who drove me to the lighthouse over the sands in a pony cart. Isn't that interesting? The initial practice run of the SAF experimental airmail service to Cape Town and Durban. Well, that's a bit of history for you from Mr. J.S. Carlin of Rondebosch. Now, sporting from Mrs. K. de Kock of Doreen Street, also Colbane, Victoria. In which sport would you find the following players? Cover point, point, third man, and goalkeeper.
Oh, no. You did that one deliberately, didn't you?
Mrs. de Kock says, P.S., strictly speaking, this question isn't cricket.
That's really nice. I was expecting some dirty trick in this one. I mean, cover point, for goodness sake.
Isn't it beautiful?
I think it must be something like lacrosse, surely.
Point and cover point.
You say what, Grant?
Lacrosse.
Mm-hmm. What do your teammates say to that one?
I don't know.
Let's have the
What about hockey, boys?
Could cover point?
No, there's no. I don't think in hockey.
Point, third man, and a goalkeeper.
Well, let's go by what he says.
It's a guess.
Arthur?
Have you got any reason to believe this one? Lacrosse, I mean.
No, I have none whatsoever. It's a sheer guess.
You wouldn't think it was something like water polo? Why call him third man? Isn't this the whole team?
I'm not prepared to say. I just now want to accept a bid from the team.
How many people play lacrosse, guys?
I don't know.
Wouldn't be polo, boys, would it?
No, it's not polo. Look, all I did in saying lacrosse was mentally to eliminate all the games that I have watched or read about, and I was left with lacrosse.
Have you seen highlights?
No, but it's not highlight because I know some of the titles.
Well, shall we say lacrosse?
Are you saying lacrosse?
For my part, you can say lacrosse. Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Yes, it's lacrosse.
Oh. Well, I guess.
Yes, it's lacrosse. Ooh, sorry to keep you dangling there. My goodness me. All right, last question comes from Mrs. L. Clapham of 9th Avenue, Orange Grove. Can your three wise men tell me the names given to the male and female turtle? The male turtle and the female turtle? turtle. Sorry.
Boys, isn't Arthur called cock and hen or something like that?
Try you, Arthur.
I'd like to suggest bull and cow. Bull turtle.
I think it's cock and hen.
Granted,
lay eggs.
Complete flippancy, I say flapper.
That's the young one.
That's the young one.
No, sir, this is serious, boys. Let's consider this.
I think cock and hen is correct. I know hen is correct.
Well, then let's say cock and hen.
I don't think it's cock and hen. I think it's hen and...
bull. No, surely not.
I know that they...
I'd have to hurry your team.
I would say... I would be inclined to say bull and hen.
And your teammates?
No, I don't know.
Look, this is a good compromise.
This one is cricket, this question.
Well, I
quickly,
mean,
come. We're running out of time.
I would say cock and hen, but I don't know. I'm prepared to...
What's the majority vote say?
Okay.
Which?
I'm for bull and hen.
Other?
Well, I like bull somehow.
All right.
It rings bells with me.
Yeah, you got it, bull and hen. Okay. I was trying to squeeze a score for you, Mrs. L. Clapham of Orange Grove. I'm terribly sorry I didn't succeed. It's bull for the male and hen for the female. And that's the last answer for tonight. Goodbye now, until next week, when we'll be swapping more bits and pieces of interest and information with you. So, here's signing off from Eric Rosenthal in Cape Town.
Good night, everybody.
Grant Loudon, Mr. Dunn.
Good night, everyone.
And end of the line, Arthur Blexley in Johannesburg.
Good night, everyone.
And remember the address for questions, listeners, either on a postcard or by letter. The address is Test the Team, SABC, P.O. Box 2551, Cape Town. And the postal code is 8000. That's Test the Team, SABC, P.O. Box 2551, Cape Town 8000. And it's a splendid variety of sending, so keep it up, because on you, the listener, depends the success of the program, as we said before. And now from your question master, until next Sunday at the same time, good night.
Does the tag on your tea bags add to the tag in your supermarket? Change to Joco Tagless. They're super value. We save on the tags, you save on the price, and the tea is top quality. Joco Tagless. True value has no strings attached.
Ascend. Rise above the clouds with a cool, clean Mainstay on the Rocks, topped up with Schweppes Sparkling Lemon. Or discover the number one spirit with tonic, tomato cocktail, or any other mixer. It's a soaring experience.
You can stay if you are for the rest of your life. Or you can change to Mainstay.
Lexington. That's the one. As sure as you like to smoke, you're going to like Lexington smoking. A man's kind of smoking for a man's kind of man. Lexington. That's the one.
Dear McCormack and his trio of experts will be back next Sunday evening at 8:15, inviting you once again to Test the Team.